comments on here to kind of explaining what each verse means as it went through there. There's a lot of scriptures in your bulletin, and I won't touch all of those, but I wanted to put them all in there in case you wanted to follow it. And I also have printed out what his deal is. I got three of them anyway, if anybody happens to want to do their own study on it. I tried to copy them from the Bible. I didn't have a hard time putting my Bible under the printer and without it turning black out. But anyway, welcome to that. And as we're trying to personalize this psalm and confess its powerful protection and promises over all your loved ones and your ministry partners and anybody that you're working with, and it'll be how you can really put the strength of God in your daily lives. And so in verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. It says the shelter or secret place of the Most High is open to whoever believes. God has already done his part. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God is light. In him there is no darkness. Joe, would you mind praying over the word?
Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time together, worship you, learn more about you. We ask that you take and wrap your arms around Barry, give him the words to speak and our ears to hear what you have given us, and may it go smoothly, and may your day be blessed as well. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Joe. And there is, God is light, in him there is no darkness. And in 1 John 1:5, there is no shadow of turning with him. In other words, what God says and what he speaks, it is steadfast. It's the same as when he spoke it, and it will be the same clear as far as eternity goes. He doesn't turn away. He gives you a promise, and that promise is yours to keep. Or anyone who comes within the shadow distance of God is covered by his power. It's the force field of the Almighty is unmatched. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and there is no power that is any match for the mighty glory and majesty of the Creator of all. On verse 2, we read that, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and fortress, my God in whom I trust. I will say," it starts out with. And that's where in speaking the words of faith is the way of entrance into the secret place of the Most High. God created the universe and everything in it by speaking words of faith. Genesis 1:1-3, where he created the first part of the world. He says it by speaking it. Then there's in 2 Corinthians 4:13, Hebrews 11:1-3, And since mankind is made in his image, Genesis 1:26, hearing, believing, and speaking are the way of entrance into his kingdom. So that's what we have to do is when we think about it. So let's turn to Romans 10:9. Oh boy, that was lucky I turned right to Romans 11. In 10:9, it's that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart, one believes into righteousness, and with your mouth, confession is made unto the salvation. So that's the main thing you got to remember. God put his son on this earth to die for our sins. He is raised again. That's what we have to remember. And you believe that, and that no work that we do will get you anywhere. That it's a free gift from God. God did it all. This is going off a little bit off what I got here, but I've said it before that God did his, you know, he'd seen us from the beginning before we even started anything. And he said that, you know, he knew where we was going to fall short. He could see clear to the end of time, when there is no time. And he said we should be, he knew we would fail and that we couldn't, all the laws that he laid down for Moses, he knew we couldn't keep those laws. That they'd break, so that's why you had to start sacrificing your lambs and stuff, and having the blood of bulls and goats and stuff cover your sins that you did. But then that was only for 1 year or whatever. Then the next year you have to do the whole thing over again. And then God finally changed, and he said, I've got it written somewhere, but. He said, I will. God will cover us all. He will come and take the sin from us, and he will cover us from, forgive our sins from the east as far as the east is from the west. And so we could, God made that for us just so that we can have a free ride to heaven. And the way it operates, that's in Matthew 8 and Mark 11, Luke 17, Romans 10, 17. To activate the power of God's word in your life, you must speak it in faith. God's angels listen for the voice of his word. So when you start going into the word and you speak some of the promises and stuff that he gave and you speak them out loud, there's angels listening for that word that comes from God. You are born again, healed, filled with his Holy Spirit, and blessed financially and in every other way by hearing, believing, and speaking God's word from a heart of faith. Verse 3. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the hunter and from the deadly pestilence. Words whose meaning includes assured, certain, doubtless, yet truly. In other words, it's for sure. He will deliver you. A snare is a hidden trap. And God will deliver you from hidden traps and dangers you didn't even realize were there. And I don't know how many times I've heard you guys make a confession, man, I came through that and I didn't even realize there was any danger there, but the Lord protected me from it. Amen. That is such a blessing. And that's also from epidemics, deadly, violent diseases, highly contagious, that bring about man's death. There have been many of these devastating plagues throughout human history, where they have some virus has taken us, and that virus has all come from the devil. But the believer is hidden in the secret place of the Most High, standing on and believing God's word, has nothing to fear. Psalms 23:4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You are with me." To fully benefit from the power God has in faith over yourself and your family, and to learn to cooperate with Him by listening to and being led by His Holy Spirit, He will always warn you about danger and try to guide you around it. And we know that He does that. The catch is, if you don't pay attention, or if you override your spirit by keeping on going, you could end up stumbling into one of the devil's snares. So pay attention to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's many times I know in my life that I've known something was wrong to do, but my flesh says I'd like to try that anyway. And it's warned, that God has in His conscience, it tells you, well, you shouldn't really do that, but then I go on through it, and then you have to pay the consequences of doing it the wrong way. So that's something that we need to try to do. If you can overcome that fleshly desires yourself, that's a hard thing. And for me, it seems like it has more power than I do. But it's just, if you've got, get in touch with Jesus and pray daily, I think He will help you get through that. In verse 4, "He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall find protection. His faithfulness shall be your shield and wall." Well, just as a mother hen shelters her chicks under her wings, the Lord will cover you with His protection. "How excellent is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, mankind seeks refuge in the shadow of your wings." And Jesus Himself said over Jerusalem, "How often I would gather you, your children, together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not." God's wings are not feathers, but Ezekiel saw Him was a fire from His loins up and from His loins down. In the presence of God, we are surrounded and engulfed by wings of His glory fire, which is the power and majesty of His great love. He is our glorious, convenient keeping God. His faithfulness and loving kindness. So it's a powerful shield. So, I mean, you're not going to have a big eagle or whatever stretching feathers over you, but God's power is way more powerful than that. And that's the power that we want. In verse 5 and 6, Psalms 91, "You shall not be afraid of the terror at night, or the arrows that flies by day, nor the pestilence that pursues in the darkness, nor the destruction that strikes at noonday." You shall not be afraid. How many times have we heard that in the Bible? Be not afraid, be not afraid. That under God's shadow of His power, where all that mighty power from, it's a force that is around God that you can hide in. nothing can come near you then. God commands us scores of times throughout the Old and New Testament not to be afraid. Fear blinds you to the power of the enemy. Verse 5 says to not be afraid of the terrors at night. Terrorist attacks, someone breaking into your home, etc. Or arrows or bullets, etc. flying. Or deadly, violent epidemics, diseases, as in verse 3, or destruction. Like the sudden earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes, avalanches, floods, or bombs, you are hidden in a secret place or shelter of the Most High. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames kindle you. God is well able to protect you. Refuse to fear. Have faith in God. That always reminds me of Daniel and them that got thrown into the fiery furnace. You know, that was, I could just see the face of that king there. But didn't I put three people in there? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then, who's the fourth guy that's in there? And that fourth guy is the one that came in, that's our Jesus Christ himself. And then they is in there, heated up, as hot as it was. They all come out, not even their hair singed. I would love to have been there just to see the looks on their faces. Especially the ones I could see the fear in the people that were the ones that accused him of doing something wrong and trickily got him thrown in there, that those guys were too anything but scared themselves when they seen them guys kind of strong. So verses 7 and 8, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. In these situations, thousands may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but because you have made the Lord your refuge and are declaring the word of his protection by faith, none of those things will come near you. You will see them, but your shield, the force field of the Lord's protection, will preserve you. He will deliver you from violence because you are in the secret place of the Most High. The devil can't find you. You're hidden in the glory, in the glory. The more I read about that, I've read Psalms 91 for several years, but I then got started reading this commentary on what all those things mean, and it gives it a little broader deal of how the protection of God covers us. Verse 9 and 10. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling, there shall be no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your tent. The tent is kind of the same as your house or your dwelling place. And because you are standing on his word and trusting the Lord more than anything else, and have chosen to make the Most High your dwelling place, no evil will happen to you, neither shall any plague come near you nor your home. The word of his power will uphold you as you trust in him and speak his covenant promises of protection over you and your loved ones. Right there, let's turn to Hebrews 1:3. He is the brightness of his glory, the expressed image of himself, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had himself purged of our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So, just so nice that Jesus came and took all that sin. We could quit killing all the goats and bulls around. It's already been paid for once and for all. That was a pretty hard thing for him too, especially even raising the sheep that you had to do for Passover and stuff. Usually in your family, you could see them there, and you've got to have the best one. You've got a perfect little sheep out there. Your little son or daughter brings them in, and they're taking care of them, and they tend to fall in love with these little sheep. And then they have to take them in and say, all right, now it's got to die for your sins. And that, you can just imagine how hard that is on them. And they, all of us now should be very thankful that we didn't have to give our favorite little sheep to the priest to be killed, because Jesus took care of that. And go on down to verse 11 and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. God's covenant enforcing army, his angels, have been sent forth to minister you on your behalf. Are not the angels all ministering spirits, servants sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who can inherit salvation? These mighty beings are so powerful that just one of them wiped out in one night 185,000 soldiers laying siege to God's people who were crying out to him for help. Let's go to 2 Kings 19:35. On that night, the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. When others woke up in the morning, these were all dead bodies. That's makes you wonder, you know, it's so many times that the God has took his people and the people that he's watching over, the people that believe in his word, that are in his shelter and his force field. It's amazing how Lord covers all that. God's angels listen for the voice of his word. To put God's word of protection in your mouth every day, because consistency lies the power. Then we go to verse 13 and 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. It's talking about us setting our love upon God. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I missed one verse there, 13, which shall the tread upon lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent shall trample, you shall trample underfoot. Suppose that wouldn't have to be just the adder, it could be the rattlesnakes we have around here too. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The spotless Lamb of God shed his own blood in the covenant sacrifice to make the way for you to have authority over all power of the enemies, including fear. Because he has raised us up and seated us together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Satan and all his demons are under our feet. See yourself seated up together with him, looking down on all the power of the enemy, and realize because you have set your love on him and he dwells in you and you in him, he makes it his personal business to protect you. His covenant, son or daughter, nothing shall by any means hurt you as you stay in faith and trust in your Father to take care of you. Okay, let's go to verse 15 and 16. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's all the Lord talking to us. When you call upon your covenant partner in the name of Jesus, he will always answer. He dwells in you, and it is ever present and is ever present. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Hebrews 13:5 and Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteousness, and his ears are open to their cry. And Jesus said, remember, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Matthew 28:20. He promises not to only protect, but also to deliver, honor, satisfy with a long life, and show you his salvation. Salvation in Psalms 91:16 means deliverance, aid, victory, prosperity, health, help, save, and welfare. Your covenant partner is your advocate and deliverer in every situation and circumstances. If you'll stay in faith in his word, his miraculous power will come to you to walk on the high places of the earth, far above the perceptible and power, might, and dominion, victorious in all you set your hand to. You want to get the kids up? We'll go to communion here right shortly. So anyway, that's gave it a lot broader meaning to Psalms 91 after I had a commentary on it that explained some of that, exactly where it was. I still love reading Psalms and every 91 every day to get that protection. Now I'll have a little different version in my head of what that really means. And I do have some of those, that commentary printed out. I got three copies of it here. Very poor copies, I might add, but if anybody's interested in them, I can give that. Hopefully you'll all go down and spend your whole week just studying Psalms 91. Don't worry about the laundry. Don't worry about the lawn. Don't worry about your job. I know that doesn't work quite that way. But.